First, if there's one place that represents a divided America, it could be Pepin County, Wisconsin, according to Politico reporter Michael Cruz. He says there's an invisible wall there between Democrats and Republicans. Neighbors don't want to talk politics with people they disagree with, and often they just don't talk at all. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you feel tension in your community since the 2016 election? Maybe something you hadn't expected, some barriers you didn't know were there came out after that election. Have politics put a wall up between you and your neighbors or family members? Do you think there's anything you can do about it? Call 800-642-1234. Michael Cruz is a senior staff writer at Politico. He wrote about Pepin County and its efforts to bridge that gap in a piece for Politico magazine. The Wall That Trump Actually Built is the title. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, Pepin County and the region it's in, it got a lot of attention after that election from reporters in Wisconsin and around the country because of a big shift there. Can you talk about why it was significant, why this got so much attention in that area?
Sure. Like right after the election in 2016, I, as well as many other people, started scanning through the counties all over the country, but especially in the Midwest, that had flipped from Obama to Trump, from Democrat to Republican. I specifically was looking at the upper Midwest and zeroed in on Pepin County as one of these places that was sort of singular even within this this group. It hadn't voted for a Republican since 1972, and it was one of these counties in Wisconsin that helped Trump win the state, of course. And what struck me as so interesting, even before I got there the first time I went there in late 2016, was that it essentially has a liberal coast and a more conservative interior, so it could serve as something of a microcosm, potentially, I thought, for the divides that have become much more clear throughout the country since Trump's election in 2016. So I trekked out there in late 2016, wrote a story for Politico magazine a year ago, and then returned almost exactly a year later in late November of 2017. And the story I wrote off of that trip is the one that just ran.
Let's talk about those two groups and the divisions they had. First, let's start with that liberal coast, as you describe it. Who are the people who represent the more liberal wing in Pepin County?
The more liberal wing, and of course there are exceptions to this two-faction setup, but the more liberal wing in Pepin County, they live in the village of Saucombe. Many of them live in the village of Pepin, but they live along the Mississippi River more than, say, Durand or some of the more agricultural areas in the interior of the county. And many of those people who live on that left coast are move-ins from Minnesota and specifically from the Twin Cities. So they're bringing a certain political sensibility from the cities, as they say, rather than from, you know, the farmland in the interior of Wisconsin.
And on the other hand, are the more conservative Trump voters, and it sounds like they're more people who have been there for a long time, maybe generations.
Certainly, generations, born and raised Pepin County. And, you know, the thing is, some of even the newcomers from Minnesota aren't so new. They've been there for 20, 30 years, more than that even in some cases. But I think, this because I've been told this in Pepin County both times I've been there, you know, it is the kind of place that, requires almost multiple generations of your family living there to be considered something other than a newcomer. That is something that's not unique to Pepin County. It's something I encounter in a variety of more rural places in middle America.
We're talking to Michael Cruz from Politico, talking about his reporting from Pepin County, Wisconsin, and the political divisions there that really came into the light after the 2016 election. And let's get into this now, Michael, in that first visit and the first piece you wrote and the new one. A lot of what you're focusing on is how people talk about themselves, about each other, and politics. Let's start with the older guard, the people who lean more toward being Trump voters. What kind of things were they saying about the election and about their communities?
I think they were saying a local version. They were saying a local version, I thought, of a national conversation, which is to say, we feel like we've been forgotten. We feel like we are looked down on by liberal city people. We feel like they talk down to us. They think we are, backwards. They think we are less intelligent. That is something I heard my first trip for sure. And it's something I heard again a year later in my second trip. So I think there is this feeling, and whether it's totally grounded in fact or felt by all born and raised Pepin County citizens or not, there is this sense that you get, this collective sense talking to those folks in Pepin County, that this is certainly the way they feel, that they are being sort of put on their heels by the more left-leaning, newer residents in the county doing different things, different views politically, different cultural sensibilities. And that has, I think, since the election, led to other conversations about, an overemphasis on the part of liberals on social issues, on Black Lives Matter, protests. It's something you hear in a variety of places. It's something I've heard in a variety of places throughout the Midwest over the last year, and it's certainly something I heard consistently in both of my trips to Pepin County.
And you cite in your work, there's been talk, resentment of the liberal East Coast and California here in Wisconsin. You cite in your piece Kathy Kramer's work on the politics of resentment, where people around the state might resent liberal Madison in particular. But it's interesting that you're seeing it in this area directed at new people coming in to the community with different attitudes and maybe changing the way of life that people are used to with this influx, a slow, gradual influx of people from bigger cities.
It was interesting. This last time I was there, it overlapped with the beginning of a deer hunting season, of gun hunting season. And, I flicked at that a little bit in the second story, but certainly I saw it there. There is a faction of people who are more new to the county that are not hunters, that don't see hunting as anything close to critical to their culture or their way of life. In fact, sort of they are careful about where they go and how they walk their dog and when during deer hunting season, whereas some deer hunters I spent some time with one night, it was like Christmas Eve for them. A large group of longtime friends that had all of whose families had lived in Pepin County for generations and were essentially celebrating the following morning in the beginning of deer hunting season. I mean, this is something that I saw and made me think about what one of the people in both of my stories to this point said to me, which was, Pepin County seems to her to be a Venn diagram where the circles don't touch. Mm-hmm. And, I sort of bounced back and forth between those circles throughout my time, both times, but certainly this last time.
And let's talk about that other circle that doesn't really overlap so much. There's been a lot of reporting where people go and talk to Trump voters since that election. You did that, and you talked to the people who thought, okay, we're moving into this friendly, small community, and they felt surprised, disturbed to find that their county had gone for a candidate that they felt very badly about.
So this group of people were, in my first trip, uniformly shocked, had no sense that this was how the election in 2016 was going to go, stunned that Trump won. Many people were, but certainly they were among those people. This last time, I thought it was noteworthy and quite interesting that in spite of what I had heard my first trip, which was, this is a wake-up call, in essence, and we need to have more conversations, not fewer conversations with people who don't think the way we think politically. They, in fact, have had fewer of those conversations. And that is fairly uniform and unanimous, an assessment that I heard from both sides of the aisle, so to speak. Certainly, the more liberal group of people in Pepin County, in spite of the desire and sort of even the understanding that this would be a good thing to have these conversations, it just don't. And the people who have been having conversations with their Republican neighbors, it's not about politics. They're not taking head on the meat of the increasing polarization around the country and more locally in Pepin County. Just not something they're talking about. Nobody told me that they're having more conversations or anything close to more conversations about politics in the last year.
And that takes us to the wall in the title of your piece, the wall that Trump actually built. There is, at least metaphorically, a wall that hasn't gone down in the year since the initial outcome of that election.
Right. And I think it's an ill. It's a danger. It's dangerous to our cultural and socio-political existence as a country. There has to be some way to have these kinds of conversations and to have them in a civil way. And there is, as I point out in this most recent story, there is, and I had this conversation with a variety of people in Pepin County, there is this, as you know, almost social mandate, especially in the upper Midwest, to be sort of nice to each other. And I think what has happened here is the desire, the ingrained desire to not have conversations if you don't have anything nice to say, has turned into a silence that is not helpful. I think this is something that needs to be grappled with head on. And it's not that there hasn't been some effort. As I say in the story, there was an effort to have a meeting, and it was incredibly lopsided. One Trump voter showed up, and, you know, I end this story with a hope, a pledge that there will be another meeting like this. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if there's another meeting and if more than one Trump voter shows up. The Trump voter that did show up to the first meeting told me he wouldn't show up to a second meeting. And so they're gonna have to cast a wider net. And look, I hope they have another meeting and hundreds of people show up and it's evenly distributed and they have an incredibly productive conversation. I hope that happens. And if it does, I would love to go back and watch it. But that is not what has happened to this point. And it's not what people told me in my second reporting trip there.
We're talking to Michael Cruz. He wrote about Pepin County, Wisconsin, and its efforts to bridge its political divide, unsuccessful, in a piece for Politico magazine. It's called The Wall That Trump Actually Built. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see something like this in your community, wherever you are? Did the election build a wall in your community? Is it hard to talk about politics with people you know you have a different view from? Is it hard to talk about anything with them? Have you done something to try to reach out over that divide? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about Pepin County, Wisconsin, and in a way about communities around the country with Politico reporter Michael Cruz. He says there's an invisible wall there between Democrats and Republicans since the elections of 2016. We want to know what things look like where you are at 800-642-1234. Are people with different political beliefs getting along where you live? How do they do it? Are people in your community bridging the gap? Are there people in your neighborhood, in your family, in you name it, that you can't talk to like you used to be able to since the elections? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to our callers. We have a caller in Rice Lake in Barron County. Hi.
Oh.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I was listening to conversation, and I was, you know, I am one of those old generational families from up this way, but I kind of fall on the other side. I'm more liberal, and whenever I talk to like my neighbors, my older neighbors, and they've been here forever, they're staunch Trump supporters, and the first thing I hear is fake news, and that's not real, and I'm immediately shut down. And I kind of hate to say it, but after this election, I've looked around and I've realized that there's a lot of dumb people, and they vote.
thanks for the call. So our caller saying doesn't think much of what he's hearing from Trump voters in the neighborhood. But Michael, as he expressed it there, that confirms what a lot of Trump people, Trump voters feel like liberals are thinking of. They're looking down on them.
Yeah, although let me just say, I don't consider many of the Trump supporters I have talked to multiple times in Pepin County over the last 2 years to be dumb. I mean, on the contrary, in many of the cases, I'm thinking specifically about a guy named Dick Komisar, who is featured prominently in the second story for sure. You know, I found my conversation with him, which stretched for hours at a sportsman's club outside of the village of Pepin, to be really interesting. And so, you know, I think he certainly thinks that the newcomers are looking down on him. He has said that to me both times I've been there to Pepin County, but I would not classify him as anything other than quite insightful.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Joe on the line in Platteville. Joe, hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good. What did you want to tell us, Joe?
I think one big thing you're missing here, and that is probably what's causing the largest divide about this political scene that we've got going on, is the inability for the Democrats to accept the fact that they lost. And so they're going around denigrating Trump, just like your last caller. Oh, the people that voted for Trump have to be stupid or something. And so they can't accept it. They keep going around, kicking it around. When Obama won, the Republicans accepted that, accepted the loss, and then they went on and they didn't continually try to subvert the decision that the people made. So I think that's where a lot of the divide is coming from. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the fact that they can't accept the loss.
Joe, thanks. I want to bring Michael in and give a chance for other callers there. But Joe, saying, and is this something you've heard from talking to people, Trump supporters in Pepin County, Michael?
For sure. Not just in Pepin County, and a variety of other places in so-called Trump country that I've been to. Why can't they just move on? I do want to push back on the idea, though, that Republicans quickly moved on after Obama was elected and then reelected. I think there was a resistance toward Obama as well for the entirety of his 8 years as president, although nobody called it the capital R resistance.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Steve on the line in Eau Claire. Steve, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, the last caller really didn't get it right. I mean, I think that the Republicans really didn't move on after Obama was elected. There was a resistance completely through his, you know, two terms. And, you know, I'm a Democrat. I've moved on from the election. I'm trying to find out why anyone can support Donald Trump and the Republicans when all they do is steal from them and give their money to the rich. I just don't understand. And I actually posted on my Facebook page to invite anyone who is willing to have a logical discussion about why they support Donald Trump. And I've been out there for 3 weeks and no one has taken the bait. And, you know, it's not the bait. I guess I really want to discuss this and find out why.
Steve, thanks for the call. And Michael, talking about how Steve framed that, it seems like a lot of people who were surprised at Donald Trump's election and disappointed in it start with that premise of how on earth could someone support that? And maybe that's not a great conversational opening to start that conversation.
Yeah, and there are compelling and reasonable reasons for some Trump supporters in Pepin County that I talked to and in a variety of other places why they supported him in the first place and continue to support him. Many wanted somebody like Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, check. Many wanted a tax cut, and I think many people are about to get a tax cut. We don't, you know, who's to say how that's going to look 10 years from now? But right now, if paychecks get bigger, you know, that is a check mark. And I think there are people who are not going to be nearly as helped from an economic standpoint, who see wins in from Trump in terms of the culture war. He is fighting the culture wars on their behalf and is a soldier, is a general, and is simpatico on that. And in this way, you know, this is policy. You know, the NFL players and you know, the sort of social issue battering ram that he uses on Twitter, all of that is, I think, seen favorably by not everybody who supported Trump, that's for sure, but a not insignificant portion of the people who supported Trump.
And we'll leave it there. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Michael Cruz. He wrote about Pepin County, Wisconsin, and the difficulty in bridging the political divide there in a piece for Politico magazine. It's called The Wall That Trump Actually Built.